Good day, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of The John White Project. I hope everyone's doing well today. Before we get started, I just wanted to say that all the side effects that I've been telling you about, that I've been kind of reliving through again, I just wanted to let you know that those are my side effects. Everyone's cancer journey and side effect journey is different. So please, by all means, don't think that this is going to happen to you. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Most often, these are the regular side effects. But you want to make sure that you consult your doctor if anything, I mean anything, is out of the norm for you. I was prepared. I read books. I did my research. I was ready. My wife was on board with everything. She was the one to remind me when I thought things were a little bit different that this was a side effect. All right, so now that you know that everybody is unique in their own journey, everyone's cancer is unique, everyone's side effects are unique, everyone's journey is unique. The only thing that is not is that we are all in this together. And the reason why I'm doing this podcast is basically to say that no man fights alone. We all stand together. What we're talking about today is my hormone therapy. If you are new to the podcast, in 2018, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer in May. In August, I had the surgery for prostate cancer. My prostate was level 3. Cancerous, so it had actually spread outside of the prostate and had gone into the fatty tissues surrounding the prostate. We thought we got everything in the surgery, but it turned out that we did not get everything. There was still some microscopic cancer cells in the fatty tissues, so we decided that we were going to go hormone therapy and radiation therapy. The hormone therapy I started in August of 2019, and for those of you who are unfamiliar with the hormone therapy, it is basically Lupron. Now, Lupron lowers your testosterone in order to starve the cancer. The cancer feeds off of the testosterone, so it's kind of weird that you know, in a man's body, we are full of testosterone, and that also feeds the prostate cancer. But what's kind of really cool is as we get older, our testosterone levels die down as we eventually all, you know, we have the prostate cancer, so it's not feeding on this high dose of testosterone. I was going to say that most men have prostate cancer, but really die of old age. So I'm not going to say most men, some men get prostate cancer, but they will die of old age before anything happens to them. Now let me go over some of the side effects of the Lupron. The first one being the fact that it lowers your testosterone. So you're going to have, you know, a weakened immune system, you're going to lose lean muscle mass, you're going to be tired a lot, you're going to gain weight, you're going to lose muscle mass, I think I said that. There is a chance of erectile dysfunction or just the lack of drive. Your libido kind of dries up. You could have breast tenderness, mood swings, so you're going to get mood swings, that's, yeah. And they said that depression goes along with the mood swings and shrunken testicles. That was one of the things that the doctor had pointed out to me, that the testicles were going to get smaller, so don't worry about it. I wasn't really worried about it to begin with, but then I started thinking, you know, should I be worried about this? They did shrink, and yeah, it was kind of strange. So it was, you lose size after getting your prostate taken out. And then on the hormone therapy, you lose size on your testicles because of the Lupron. So you're just shrinking all over the place. But at least the Lupron does eventually leave your system. Now, here we go with the story. Like I said, in 2019, I got my first injection of Lupron. I was working 12-hour continental rotating shifts. So I really didn't notice any fatigue until later on. But let me go through that. I was getting Lupron shots every 4 months. So I had one in August and then October, November, December. In December, I had one. That is when I think I started feeling fatigued a little bit earlier. I had my first shot in August. It was good for 3 months. And then I had my next shot in December. I did notice that I was getting a little bit fatigued, and I did have hot flashes. They were kind of random at the beginning. You know, your first two needles, your body's just slowly getting depleted of testosterone and things like that. My first hot flash, I asked one of the ladies at work, "What does a hot flash feel like? I think I just had one." She thought it was funny, and then she kind of thought it was insulting that I was asking her because I thought she was going through menopause. I had to straighten that all out. So gentlemen, don't just know that it's an internal heat that can come from the inside of your chest or start right from your shins and work all the way up. I took a 2-year course of Lupron, the hormone therapy. So I was getting dosed up every 3 months. In early 2020, I started my radiation therapy. So the Lupron, along with the radiation, for January, February, and March, I was like a zombie. I was like the walking dead. I was tired all the time. At work, they gave me the opportunity to go on to an 8-hour day shift. So that was good, but I was still finding that after an 8-hour shift, it was a long day. Now, I don't do any physical labor or anything like that. I work in a pharmaceutical company where we're making liquid drugs. So there's not a lot of physical activity other than maybe pulling skids or setting up the filling and packaging equipment, but nothing like a construction worker or like a true physical laborer. But with the Lupron in my system, it was bringing me down. Now, partway through, I guess, 2020, there was, of course, the lockdown worldwide. But in Canada, it started, I guess, the third week of March 2020. So I was okay. I stayed at home most of the time anyways. I was tired. I was going early to bed. I was getting up early in the morning and not doing a lot of physical activity. Now, I did like 10,000 steps at work a day. But other than that, that was pretty much my activity. I did notice that my mood swings were becoming a little less random. I also noticed that my hot flashes were also becoming a little less random. It almost worked out at 7 o'clock in the evening, I would have a huge hot flash. 3 o'clock in the morning, I would wake up to a huge hot flash. And I would have 2 or 3, maybe 4 times a day, just random hot flashes. We did figure out, my wife and I did figure out that whenever I got anxious or depressed or upset or any sort of emotional struggle, the hot flashes would come on. So if I got, frustrated at work, I would have a hot flash. And there were days when I had to change my shirt and my pants because I had just sweat right through them. I'm susceptible to migraines. I've had migraines since I was 21, and this Lupron seemed to have intensified them. So I would be at work, I would have a little bit of a headache, and then I would get the aura in my eye, I would start to see spots, and then I knew I would have 30 minutes to get home, or I would have to call an Uber or a taxi or someone to come and get me. So randomly that would happen at work, depending on, you know, how good of a day I was having. Now, during the lockdown, like I said, there was no social activity other than family, and then they kind of shut that down as well. I'm a musician, so there was plenty of time to practice my guitar because there was no live gigs. Now, as the months went on, say around Christmas 2020, we were still under small lockdowns. We couldn't see family. We couldn't get together. The mood swings became rather large. My wife would point them out to me, just letting me know that I was a bit edgy, or are you okay? Or are you getting a headache? She would do the most politically correct thing without getting me upset or, you know, making me turn on a dime and flare up. She knows how to handle me. Good wives know how to take care of their husbands. So she would take care of me that way, just to keep the emotions under check, I guess. And there was a few times when I was going to work and I would just break down after the new year. So in January 2021, it became harder and harder to get ready to go to work. It became a struggle. It became an issue in my family life, in my work life. I was missing days. I would start on a Sunday. I'd take a Monday off, and then maybe I'd finish off the rest of the week, like a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then I would go back in on Sunday, and then I would have like a Monday off, I guess, because the weekend was relaxing. And even though my job is not as stressful as most people's jobs, I was just going in, going gung-ho, giving it 100%. But not realizing that I can't give 100% all of the time right now because of the Lupron. It was coming to an end. My body was full of it. My testosterone is, you can't even read it in a blood work. So things started to get dark for me. I told the work nurse, and she told me to get in contact with the counselor. So I started speaking with a counselor. I spoke with my doctor. And again, I cannot stress, you need to keep your doctor and specialists in the loop, because they are working for you in everything that they do. They are trying to cure you of cancer. They are trying to make sure that your body doesn't break down, either through the treatment or through, you know, harming yourself. You need to keep all your medical people in the loop with you. So I started speaking with the counselor. Then I started having anxiety attacks and depressive episodes. It was really bad. January 13th of this year, 2021, I had a complete breakdown and I couldn't even leave the house. I had gotten up, I had a shower, I had breakfast, I packed my lunch, I finished my coffee, and I froze in the kitchen, and I told my wife, I can't go to work. I can't leave the house today. I phoned the work nurse, let her know what was going on. I went on short-term leave for a couple of months because I was high anxiety, and a little bit low on the depression side, but the combination of the two, I had never felt anything like this before. Just like I had never felt tired like I had after the radiation. I had never felt sad like this. So my urologist gave me Effexor to try and control my hot flashes. Effexor is also an antidepressant, so I was already on a low dose of Effexor, so my doctor raised the dosage, and that did a little bit for my hot flashes. It more or less scheduled them a little better, so I wasn't having them randomly through the day, but it did very little for my anxiety and depression. So my doctor increased the dosage and then increased the dosage again. So I'm on the highest dose for a pill for the Effexor. And I did notice that took the edge off of the anxiety and the depression. I would say that the depression left, but the anxiety was something that just hung on and to this day is still hanging on. But through counseling and through meditation apps and through a Bible study that I was attending via Zoom and my own personal Bible reading itself, I was finding that anxiety was becoming easier and easier to deal with. It's not that it isn't there, but now I can stop, realize what it is, do a little bit of breathing, quote a little bit of Bible, and know that I'm going to be okay. So after being off for basically 3 months, I went back to work. I still have my good days and my bad days. Bad days being anxiety ridden. There's just some days that you roll out of bed and you just know it's not going to be a good day. And you know what? We really need to take care of our mental health. Men are brought up to be, you know, big boys don't cry. Only girls cry. Only babies cry. Be a man, you know. You know what? It's okay not to be okay. And no one ever pretends to be mentally ill. We pretend to be fine and we let it go at that. And we just try and struggle on. And that's usually when bigger things happen on the inside. And that's when, you know, thoughts enter our heads. That's when we think about hurting ourselves just to not feel what we're feeling on the inside. So gentlemen, it's okay to take a mental stress day. Take a day off. You don't have to go to the golf course. You don't have to fish. You can just sit inside and read a book. Just recoup your mental attitude and try and be the best you that you can be. Because you're going to do no good for your family if you harm yourself or get harmed at work because you thought you could fight through it. I know, because I did that a couple of times. I actually had to turn my car around and come back home 3 times that I know of because I had some sort of attack on the way to work. I'm not saying that my work is scary or, you know, ooh, I can't go to work because, you know, something inside me is telling me, ooh, it's a bad place. It's not that at all. I have anxiety attacks in the home. I have anxiety attacks cutting the lawn. It just comes out of nowhere. And you just have to focus, you have to breathe, you have to know that you're going to be okay, and then get on with it. If you need to sit down, sit down. If you need to have a nap, have a nap. It's okay. It's okay not to feel okay. We need to take care of ourselves and our families, but it's ourselves first. So that's my journey with hormone therapy. We've already covered radiation therapy in the last one. I just wanted everyone to know that, yeah, I still have my good days. I still have my bad days. Everyone at work knows what's going on. All the supervisors, the nurse, human resources, the managers. Now, you don't have to tell them this. You can just confide in the nurse, and the nurse will just let everybody know that there's some stuff going on in your life, and that's all they need to know. I have a good rapport with my supervisors. I have a good rapport with my managers. I have a good rapport with the human resources people. I work for a very good company, and they are all very open to me coming and speaking. They are all very proud of me. The fact that I am broadcasting to the world what has happened to me. But I tell them, it's not about me. Yeah, it helps me. When I tell my story, it relieves some inner stress. It gives me inner healing. It gives me inner peace. But I want to let everyone know, every man know, that no man fights alone. And I'm here for you. And that's what this podcast is all about. So if you know someone who's going through this or might be going through this, please pass along my podcast to them. I'm not in this for the money. I'm not in this for the glory. I'm in it to help every man that I can. And every wife. Every wife's story is different as well. Next podcast, we will have my wife on, and we're going to get her take on what it's like to live with a husband who's been diagnosed with prostate cancer. What was her journey like? It could be a short episode. It could be a two-part episode. I don't know yet. We have discussed what it's been like. I have watched my wife go through living with me with prostate cancer, going through all the different treatments. My wife is a very strong lady, but there's only so much she can handle. And I'm sure she's spoken with her girlfriends and things like that. And we've spoken, and she's on different Facebook chat groups and things like that with other wives that have husbands with prostate cancer. But it's just something that, again, like every man's journey is different with prostate cancer, every wife's journey is different with their husband going through prostate cancer. So I'll leave you like I always do. Be honest, be true to yourself, be a good human being, love one another. Peace. I'm out. We'll see you next time on the John White Project.